I don't know if you're anything like me, but you get stages in your life when you take a review of how you're getting on spiritually as well as in everyday life. You know, you take almost like an inner audit of how you're getting on. I don't know if you do things like that. And sometimes I get days when I get back home after a busy day and I think to myself, how on earth did I get through that day? I found that it hasn't been at all, as I expected, not profitable. I haven't found that I've had wisdom to make decisions. I found that I've made some wrong choices. And I've been worried and anxious and found that my joy has just dissipated away. Do I ever have days like that? Sometimes, you know, you haven't seen eye to eye with somebody and you get that terrible knot inside. I hate confrontation. And you come and you think, oh, this day has been a nightmare. And then, you know, the words of Jesus interrupt your thoughts. And you remember when he said in John 10, that lovely passage about the Good Shepherd, when he said, I have come, Pam Scott Cook, that you might have life in all its fullness. And, you know, Jesus, you know, how are we going to know this life in all its fullness? How is that possible? The full life, living every day as Jesus, as God intended us to live. Well, we're going to look at Jesus, aren't we? And we read in Luke 4, Jesus had been in the wilderness. He had been under immense pressure. He'd been under terrible temptation. And it says in Luke 4, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says that he stood up in the synagogue and they handed him the Isaiah scroll. And he read these prophetic words. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to fulfill God's mission in my life. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. And so my title tonight is, I'm going to put that in front of there, actually. Life in the Spirit. And it's a subject that we're so familiar with, and I want to be authentic tonight. I want to take it from my head, and I want to see how I can bring it into my everyday life. I want it to be a reality in my everyday life. And we're going to look at two passages. We're going to look at Romans 12:11 and Ephesians 5:18-21. And we'll see that this life to the full is something that God desires for us. He's made it possible. You know, that is such good news when we're struggling just to get through a day. In John 14:16, Jesus tells his disciples about another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, Jesus said, but you know him and he lives in you and he will be with you. Did you hear that? It's the promise of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And when we became followers of Jesus, you know, we couldn't become a follower of Jesus unless it was the Holy Spirit reminding us, showing us of our need for a Savior, showing us about the significance of the suffering of Christ. We couldn't have come to be a follower of Jesus without him. And neither could we have, can we live our lives every day without the Holy Spirit's power showing us love and the knowledge of God. We can't do it, any of it, without him. And this third person of the Trinity is beautifully described in the Bible. He described as a dove, you know, at Jesus' baptism, he came like a dove. You know, that speaks to us of peace. And my goodness me, how much we need peace in our lives, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. The Holy Spirit brings us peace every day. He comes like the wind, this power-generating force. You know, Jesus talked about him in John 3. He said, the Holy Spirit, he said, you don't see where he comes from and you don't see where he's going, but you see the effect of him. He comes like wind and he comes like fire, like he did at Pentecost. You know, this dynamic and empowering Holy Spirit that transformed the life of those disciples. And can transform ours. He comes like oil. You know, we need comfort sometimes. I've been speaking to somebody just this evening as I arrived. We need comfort. Our, you know, lives get hard, don't they? We need provision. The Holy Spirit comes like oil. And lastly, he comes like water, and he refreshes us and he cleanses us every day. We need it, don't we? And I think that is just wonderful. Those five things, you know, they sort of meet us at so many needs in our life. The Holy Spirit can reach us in so many times of need and trial in our lives. And we remind ourselves that he is available for us to live this life to the full. Paul prays in Colossians 1 that we would come to know the surpassing greatness of this power towards us who believe, who raised Jesus from the dead. So our first reading is in Romans 12 and 11, and it says this, just one verse. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Keep us following Jesus. And he goes on to give a catalogue of what this spirit-filled life looks like. So never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor. And zeal is mentioned 40 times. And this verse indicates that this power is available for us. It's about the spirit bubbling up, welling up, like, you know, it's about eagerness and spiritual glow. It's about enthusiasm and fervor and zeal every day. It's like expressions we use, boiling water, you know, volcanoes, geysers, fermenting wine, spirit-filled Christians. And is that what our lives are like? Is that the consistency in our lives? Is it the consistency in mine? You may remember the woman at the well. And Jesus alludes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to her. He says to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst again. And will become to him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Bubbling up, welling up within us. In John 7, he cries out. It's the last day of the feast. And all the religious people, they've done their bit, you know, they've dotted the T's and crossed the, you know what I mean, you know, the other way around. They've done they fulfilled the law, they've done their religious rituals. And Jesus surprisingly says to them, you know, after all that, if you're still thirsty, you come to me and drink, he said. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit, who those who believe in him would receive after Jesus had been glorified. Jesus told them about the Holy Spirit when religiousness, you know, wasn't doing it for them. And God's desire for every follower of Jesus is to experience every day. I will keep saying that. Every day experience the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you know anything about the book in the Bible, the Song of Songs. It's a very unusual book. I love it. What it is basically, it's a love poem about the bridegroom and the bride. And we find there that there are periods of time, you know, there's ebbs and flows of her relationship with the bridegroom. One minute she's as close as she could be to him, and the next minute the separation is immense. There's no consistency with her. And you know what? If I'm absolutely honest with you, that is what my life is like. And I suspect that it might be yours is like that too at times. We lack consistency. There's a verse in the Song of Songs. It says in chapter 2, catch for us the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Those little hindrances that come into our lives that are like foxes going around destroying and ruining the fruitfulness in our lives. And one of those hindrances, I think, one of those little foxes, is apathy. Do you get apathetic? Do you get disillusioned? If I'm honest, sometimes I get bored with it. You know, meeting after meeting and sorting this out, you know, and you're going like a hamster on a treadmill, round and round and round, the same old. Do you ever feel like that? It gets boring, the Christian life. It may be that you're going through harsh circumstances, difficult circumstances, and we find ourselves not in a good place, and we find that we are distanced from God. Jesus is not as real to us as we would love. And I think that lukewarmness is when we get the worst of both worlds. Apathy is a killer for us, really. And it never brings us any joy, and it never brings us any fulfillment. And we cry out to God, fill me again today with your Holy Spirit, so that I might know a refreshment of this spiritual zeal that Paul talked about in our verse. Our other reading is from Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. It might come up there, I think, on the screen, I don't know, but I'm going to read it from the Message because it says exactly how I wanted to say. It says, don't drink too much wine, that cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. I think we've done that tonight. We've sang songs from our hearts to God, haven't we? About Jesus. And Paul gives this wonderful analogy of the Spirit's effect. He says, don't drink too much wine, but let the Holy Spirit fill us every day. It's not about being out of control. It's being about under the Spirit's control. And this means yielding ourselves to him. This means letting him take the reins of our life. It means us getting out of the executive chair of our life and letting Jesus be there. It's hard sometimes for us. We love to be in control. We can't let go sometimes. And when I think about the Holy Spirit coming and taking control of my life, I'm impressed, I'm surprised, because I remember that in creation, the Holy Spirit was there, it says, and he was brooding over the chaos, bringing order in creation. And I think, yes, and there's me with the chaos and the difficulty in my life, and the Holy Spirit is brooding over my life. I'm amazed at that. What a privilege. The Holy Spirit, who was at creation, is doing the same for me, can do the same for me in my life. In verse 19, it says, drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of him, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we were saved and we became followers of Jesus, we did it because of the Holy Spirit showing us our need and showing us the significance of the suffering of Jesus on the cross. It was by the Holy Spirit. And when we are saved, the Holy Spirit resides in our life. And when we every day are filled with the Holy Spirit, he presides over our life. He is resident and he is president of our lives. I like the analogy of the effect of drinking wine too much. We remember, don't we, on the day of Pentecost when the people were looking at the disciples, you know, and they said, oh, they've been on the bottle, you know, they've had too much wine. That's what it seemed like to them, these disciples that were just, you know, going for it. And I said to myself, what does an inebriated person look like? Well, they're spontaneous, aren't they? They're under another control. They're uninhibited. They're often joyous and abandoned. I can remember, you must not tell anybody this story, all right? I've only been once drunk, not used to drink. And it was we had some missionaries from one of our churches in Highgrove. We had some missionaries that were out in Lebanon in the Bekaa Valley. And it was at the time when John McCarthy and Terry Waite, and an Irish guy, I can't remember his name, were taken hostage for years, weren't they? It was a very dangerous place to be. Hezbollah were rife there. And this couple were working in the Bekaa Valley. So a couple from the church and me, we said, let's go out and just support them for a fortnight, pray for them and see how we can bless them and encourage them. So off we went. And it was my birthday. And Don said, the missionary husband, he said, Pam, we're going to go up to the Cedars. We're going to go up to the mountains in Lebanon. Beautiful. And he said, there's a nice little restaurant there, he said. And he said, you know, we're going to celebrate your birthday. Great, I said, lush. And so off we went up into the mountains. Well, he said, you must try the local, you know, booze. He said, great. So I tried it, and it was great. And I never had another half a glass, you know. By the end of the meal, I was uncontrollable. I was singing, I was laughing, I was dancing around, I was completely myself. So much so, I was making such a racket that they had to put me in the boot of the car, shut me in order to get me back to the Bekaa Valley. And they said when they were driving along, they could still hit me in the boot. You see, that the Holy Spirit gives us that sort of freedom. Now, I must make a disclaimer here that excessive alcohol, you know, this is where the analogy breaks down. You know, it can dehumanize people. It can put people into rage and anger. It can, you know, the Holy Spirit is never that. The Holy Spirit, in fact, makes us more, he humanizes us, makes us more like Jesus. And but the whole thing is, it's basically about control. That's a point I'm trying to make, you know. We lose control to the Holy Spirit. And it's not so much that we get more of the Holy Spirit. It's more that he gets more of us. We allow him. We give him permission to take our lives. And you know, we become empowered. We're cooperating with God and we're working in a different way altogether. And Rob sometimes uses the illustration of a glove that's, you know, very limp and useless. And he said, and when you put your hand into it, suddenly it comes alive and useful. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. We're nothing without him, basically. Our lives are nothing without him. Another thing we notice in this verse is that it's a command. He doesn't say, well, think about it and do what you like, you know, and see if it suits you. No, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. And it's for everyone. Paul is not talking in the Ephesian church to a couple of the elite leaders. He's talking to all of them. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that you at Metro, when every single one of you is experiencing the daily infilling of the Holy Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit, that Metro will change because every single person is playing their, you know, is playing their part. It's knowing the Holy Spirit. It will make a difference to your church. And what happens to us then when we know this experience of being filled with the Spirit? Well, we are going to find the greatest example of this in the Acts of the Apostles, aren't we? Because that was where it all first started. And we remember, don't we, that when Jesus appeared to the 11 in the upper room, they were disillusioned, they were doubting, they were desperate, they were so very sad. And Jesus said to them, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. And that power came at Pentecost like a mighty rushing wind. And it changed those disciples into a force that changed the world, turned the world upside down, it says. 12 of them, 11 of them, whatever. Because they knew the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so, what happens when we become filled with the Spirit? What happened to them? You know, our witness will be different. You know, in Acts 7, we see that beautiful story of Stephen martyred because he couldn't keep quiet about Jesus. And so they stoned him to death. But, you know, standing on the outskirts of that crowd was a man called Saul of Tarsus. And he was holding the coats and he was egging the murderers on. But you know, something happened to him, I believe, because he saw the witness of this Holy Spirit-filled Stephen. It says of Stephen, he was looking up into heaven. His face was radiant. They're murdering him. They're stoning him to death. He sees Jesus. And I think that when Paul went on the Damascus Road, the seeds were sown in his heart. And he gave his life completely to Jesus. Became the greatest missionary that we've ever known. Witness. It says in Acts 4 about the believers that the place where they were meeting, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I couldn't keep them quiet. And I want to ask the Spirit every day, make me a witness for you, Jesus. I can't do it unless you come. In Acts 2 and 47, it says they found favor with the people. Their testimony was impacting their community so much that 3,000 people became Christians. Secondly, their work. He will enhance our service. He will enhance our ministry. He will enhance our secular work also. In Acts 6, you know, there was a dispute going on that the poor old Greek widows didn't think that they were getting such a good deal as the Hebrew widows with the provision of food. And so the apostles, sensibly, chose 7 men filled with the Holy Spirit. It says Stephen was one of them, filled with the Holy Spirit in order to make provision for the Greek widows. And you say, what? They had to be filled with the Holy Spirit to have a nice little food bank going on in Jerusalem? Yes. And whatever you are doing for God, whatever ministry you're in, or whatever work you're doing, you know, it will be enhanced if you are filled with the Holy Spirit every day. The other thing that you notice about them, that they were full of joy. They were worshiping people. It says in Acts 13:52, they were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. I want to be a joyful person. Romans 12 and 12 says they were joyful in hope. They knew that God was always good, good all the time, and that there was the promise of heaven. They knew that he, even though they were suffering the most immense persecution, he would never leave them and he would never forsake them. They knew it because the Holy Spirit was revealing it to them. Revelation. Joy in tough times. We need to know that when our world is falling apart. People here tonight, the bottom has dropped out of your world, I think. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. That's one of his jobs, to come and comfort us, to be alongside us when the times are tough. And then relationships. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about our relationship with other people. The Spirit gives us the ability to make good relationships, whether it be, talks about wives and husbands, parents and children, workers and employers. You can put your little category in there. He helps us with our relationships. We need help, don't we? I do, anyway. And also, relationships with the Lord. Intimacy with the Lord every day. Jesus talks in his great teaching in John 14, 15 and 16 about the Holy Spirit. And he says this, he, the Holy Spirit, will not speak of himself, but he will take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto you. In other words, the Holy Spirit will come and he will make Jesus real to us. We see the beauty of Jesus. We see the indescribable beauty of Jesus. We see the compassion and the love he has. We see his sacrifice. And sometimes I think we can get a bit used to the death of Christ. We can get a bit used to what he's done. You know, we got the little box and we say, yep, Jesus died on a cross for me. Yep, he rose from the dead. Do you know, I want to be amazed at what he's done. I don't want to get used to it. I want to sing that song. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you could take my place, that you could bear my cross, that you lay down your life, that I could be set free. Jesus, I'll sing for all that you've done for me. I want to remember that Jesus has brought me from death to life. I want to remember that I was a nobody and he's made me a child of God. I want it to be true for me. I want it to be amazed by it every day. He brings fruit in our lives so that we can live like Jesus. He also gives us gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. There's no time to develop that. Empower us to do the things that he's asked us to do. And the Holy Spirit, he floods our hearts with love and power and discipline. 2 Timothy, he takes away all fear when he comes. And we will know spirit-empowered words. We will know spirit-enabled deeds and spirit-driven intercession. He changes our whole life. And we will always have a great hunger for God. The things of God, you know. In Acts 2, it said they devoted themselves to the word of God, the Bible, fellowship, communion, prayer. They shared what they had. They cared for the needy around them. And it says that they had a sense of awe at the power of God amongst them. I want that sense of the power of awe. They were constantly amazed at the power that God could transform their world, and he did. And he used them. How are we going to do it then? Well, we have to have a desire, don't we? It has to be something that's very deep, profoundly in our hearts, a desire for God, a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, oh my God. And there's a dissatisfaction with our lives because we are lukewarm and defeated and bored quite often. And we need to humbly come and say, I have a choice to make. I either live empowered by the Holy Spirit every day, or I just mosey on along in my own strength, my own way. It's a choice we have to make. The reason why I think I'm talking about this today, that at the beginning of the year, you know, I don't know what you do, but I don't make New Year's resolutions. But I do say to God, God, is there something that, you know, is on your heart for me this year? And I got a piece of paper and I write down, and it was so simple. The thing that God just, I sensed, was for me. It was, live your life in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. He said that in January. Now I have to tell you that I have prayed for the Holy Spirit every day to come into my life. I haven't always succeeded. I haven't always made it. But it's been my heart too. And every morning I start the day and I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, so that my life becomes every day as God intends it to be. Not as I intend it to be. I want to know in 2017 the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. We're in trouble if we stifle him and ignore him and suppress him in our lives. We are in trouble. And we can end up grieving him and quenching the Spirit. Instead, we find a little space every now and again just to communicate with God, just to ask him, just for the Spirit to come and lead us and direct us and give us wisdom, whatever we need. And today we can begin that transformation. We can ask somebody to pray for us. You know, for Paul that we were talking about, it says about him that when he went to Ananias' house, and Ananias placing his hand on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He laid hands on him so that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is possible for us tonight. If you want to know the Holy Spirit every day,
controlling your life, giving you joy, giving you fulfillment and direction and purpose. And you can ask tonight for somebody to pray for you, to lay hands on you and pray for you. Would you just close our eyes? So where are we today? Maybe there are some here tonight who are not aware that it's possible for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There might be some, we've sunk into this apathy and we've been satisfied with a mediocre sort of spiritual life. We might be accommodating some things in our hearts which are grieving and quenching the spirit. You know, only we know about that, don't we? It might be that we are frightened to give up control. It might be that our lives have been so painful and chaotic that we haven't really understood that we need the Holy Spirit to help us, to be our comfort and our provision. He wants to come and meet us tonight wherever we are. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that you're so kind to us, Lord. You're so patient with us. Thank you that you said, Jesus, that you would never leave us comfortless, that you would send your Holy Spirit. And we ask you tonight, will you fill us every day so that we can live the life as you intended it to be? In Jesus' name, amen.